Booyah. Talk Raiders back. Hi, everybody. How's the internet doing? And who do we have in the room with us right now?
We have Shane Patterson, Associate Features Editor.
And that's it. Everybody else is abroad. So, but who's on the line?
We got Brett Elston, Nintendo Editor. I'm currently trapped in a giant tower in Las Vegas covering Capcom.
Ooh, Tyler, that means your excuse for not being in the goddamn room should be pretty good.
That's right. I'm at home taking care of the dog. And I also like to point out, when you ask who's on the line, it doesn't really work if there's two people on the line.
Are you kidding? There's still an answer to that. Who's on first? Okay, anyway, we can jump show. What? Okay, the reviews for the podcast have been pretty damn good.
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, Shane doesn't know this because he hasn't been a part of this before.
I haven't. This is my first time. I'm scared, but I'm sure you guys will be gentle.
Aw, he's a podcast virgin.
I'm sure you'll do fine. Because, I mean, the review we got, Tyler, what did it say? It informed me greatly on what games to buy. And
yeah, the review on iTunes was like, it tells you about all the games so that you know what to buy when you go to the store, which isn't true in the least.
Also, to be fair, it was talking about Talk Raider.
That's true. That's completely different. Talk Raider is something...
It's a Tomb Raider sequel.
That's right.
It's the relationship to Tomb Raider sequel where you talk to Lara.
It's Laura Clough's right-wing radio show. I wish I could have said Croft right there. That would have been really, really
Talk
good.
Raider and
but anyway, I finally got some feedback from the boss, and he likes it too. But guess what? One thing he said we need to cut down on.
What's the that? Swearing?
Swearing.
The swearing. We need... Now,
fuck!
Now, see? That's exactly what he's talking about.
Oh.
But you know what? Actually, that was appropriate because that was an exclamation in response to the terrible, terrible news that we can't curse willy-nilly.
Yeah, he wanted us to cut down on the excessive swearing, but I think a fuck or shit or pussy here and there is fine.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, this week the top seven was what, Brett?
It was the top seven fruitless endeavors written by one of our UK brethren, I believe, Justin Towell.
Justin Towell.
And the idea is they're the most insulting rewards for the biggest tasks in gaming. Things that you put a lot of time and effort into and then really get nothing out of. Or the final goal is not worth the amount of effort. Number seven, I totally agree with, was Luigi in Mario Galaxy. I hate that bastard. And to me, it was fun and it was worth pursuing. But once I actually got him, I immediately quit playing because I'm like, this guy slides off everything and fuck him.
It's like his shoes are fucking lubricated. And I really love that game and I wanted to keep playing and I wanted to get that 124 star. And I try again once a month to keep kicking it. But it's just insane. I'm going in the toy planet and now I'm slipping off every single edge. It's impossible. It's not impossible. It's not. I don't have the time.
It's not fun anymore.
But that's not fair because I always liked Luigi. Who did you use the most in Mario 2?
Toad.
Okay, for the beginning. But Luigi.
Yeah, we did use Luigi because he floated. He floated when he jumped. The little
Twinkle
leg
toes.
Thing. It was cute.
Who did you use the most in Super Mario 2, Tyler? Or were you too young to play it?
I was not too young to play it, but I don't fucking remember. I'm sorry. I don't fucking remember. who I used in Mario 2.
Okay. Well, what's some of the other ones?
There's two racing games on the list, Need for Speed Carbon and Ridge Racer 5. Maybe there's a compelling point there, but did anybody play those enough?
I did. I played Need for Speed Carbon, and it just... Adding the stupid storyline element to the game, I don't know who gives a fuck about adding a spoiler to the car. That's really not the reason why I'm racing for pole position.
So spoiler.
Retro manifold. That's not why I do it. I don't know. I never thought it was appropriate, and evidently neither did they because they totally scrapped it in Pro Street.
Well, the idea for this was something like you go race this massively long lap or like 20 minutes or some number of incredibly long number of laps, and then the final thing is just a congratulations screen. Like, you did it.
And it's kind of the same thing for Ridge Racer as well.
Now do it harder and faster.
Yes. I mean, did anybody know the Gran Turismo trick? Because there was some race, endurance race, that took hours to complete.
Like a rubber band around your analog stick.
You timed the analog sticks and you just let it go.
My friend did that.
What a great game that sounds like.
Dude, it's the game that plays itself. It's the game 2000.
It's the game.
Wait, are we talking about Final Fantasy 12 or?
Oh, schnizzle.
Oh, no.
And then,
if it burn.
Then the very top of the list, we had the Pokemans.
The Pokemans?
The Pokemans.
Let me show you them.
No. First of all, I have more than you. I don't care what you have to show. It's worth
it. Oh, jeez.
Empty
oh,
gesture.
Faced.
Faced. Poke-faced.
Yes.
Cross state lines.
You get you collect all 493, or however many you can actually get at this point, barring the event Pokemon.
And then you instantly turn 11.
And then I immediately caught them all, got a girlfriend, and moved out of my parents' house, and got a new car. It was great. It was a great day.
Started paying taxes.
So why is that number one on the top seven? That sounds great.
That sounds like a great deal. When, in fact, you don't even get anything. You don't even get a, you don't even get a certificate that says, wow, really?
Just, you know, we didn't receive a lot of flack for this. So is this something that's understood, or maybe we as older gamers don't understand?
I don't know, but I'm wagging my finger at the internet for this.
Oh, goodness.
Tisk, tisk.
Tisk, well, tisk. How dare you not be outraged?
Yes, it was one of the least inflammatory top sevens we've had in a while.
Yeah. It's just it's kind of like the Rise and Fall of Sonic article in that it's true. There's not much to argue.
It's too true.
Yeah, it's too true.
But it is frustrating because you're putting all this time into a video game which doesn't have any real world value in the terms of rewards. You can at least get a fake virtual reward for all the fucking work you've done in this game.
Well, that's not true. I mean, it's very rare that a game rewards you. And do you ever find an ending rewarding outside of Mega Man 2?
No.
Oh, dude, no. Mega Man 2, I'm not joking. I cried as a child. Yeah. I cried at that ending because I thought
he
dead.
I thought he quit Mega Manning. It was just the helmet at the end.
I thought he was dead. I remember running into my parents' room crying, and they're like, oh my God, what happened? Mega Man, I think he's dead.
That doesn't sound rewarding at all.
Oh, Brett, good. Back to college.
But the music. I want that music played at my funeral, man.
Oh, I love it. Damn it, I wish I had it queued up. Where's the system? But luckily, to compensate for the lack of controversy in the top seven, our review of Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oh, you pronounced it right.
Oh, I did. I meant to say Gaiden. I wanted to piss people off. Gaiden with a Y.
I called it Gaiden in grade school when the NES ones were out, but then you realize, oh, it's not how you pronounce words.
And then I met a Japanese person.
Yeah, that didn't stop me.
And what happened with the Ninja Gaiden 2 review?
We gave it a 7.
Oh, no.
7 out of 10. Oh, my God.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
I heard that.
I mean, the seven is a good. We called it a good game.
Yeah, it's
great.
In
defense, it wasn't the 7 out of 10.
I know
that,
it was
that got the arguments. It was the fact that somehow people misconstrued an accurate representation, a metaphor about the game, as somehow rude and calling
exactly.
out the fans.
I have this right here. It's from a website called XboxKings.com, which. You know, accusing someone of bias, you probably shouldn't have a single platform's name in your URL.
Lord of Microsoft.
okay. In a rather shocking publication yesterday, video game journalism hit a new low.
Oh.
Now everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but while scoring Ninja Gaiden 2, GamesRadar gave it a 7 out of 10, the reviewer who shall remain nameless, AJ Glasser, proceeded to not only attack Itagaki himself, but also attack anyone who likes Team Ninja games.
That's such a fair and true assessment of their
review. It absolutely is. AJ Glasser, by the way, not a dude.
No,
yeah. I was going to wait to out it. Yes, I wanted to have her here to out her own vagina. But yes,
she was so sickened by the response she had to take the day off.
She did. She had to take the day off. She was sick. But needless to say, the internet was fucking irate. And it was basically over this one pull quote. I mean, you guys mind if I read it for a second? I'm sure you've come across it. Everybody in the room. Okay, here's what the inflammatory quote was. The saving grace here is the fan base. If you're in this group, there's no reason why you won't love Ninja Gaiden 2, despite its faults. You don't care about next-gen graphics, level design, and fairness, right? You like having Itagaki stamp on your ego, rob you of your sanity, and piss down your throat.
Yeah. I mean, really.
In speech, that just saying it, like, that really wasn't offensive at all. It just wasn't the typical bullshit milquetoast line of, this game will appeal to hardcore gamers. Yeah. It was like the exact same statement.
If you love a challenge, then X is for you.
You can fill in your basic programming.
Yeah, I don't really get that. And it was just this one fucking pull quote. And I, there were arguments around, I was talking to people who also review games, and they were legitimately pissed about it. I'm like, why? Yeah. Well, was it really? Does the camera suck? Well, yeah. Are the graphics an improvement over the Xbox One version? Well, not really. Is it punishingly difficult and unappealing to the majority of gamers? Well, yeah, good to decorate.
Does it not have mechanics in gaming that we're accustomed to by now? Well, you know.
I think I met that guy.
That's my neighbor.
That was a little unfair to Gabe Graziani. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. I wanted to get him on the podcast today, but he said he was a little busy.
Oh, so maybe next Gabe. Oh, giggles.
Gigglepuss.
But yeah, that is a completely 100% accurate description of the game. But if she said something like, oh, hey, much like the first Ninja Gaiden, this one will just hold you down and rape your face. Yes. They would have been like, oh, that's true.
Slowly fuck you in the mouth. That is what Ninja Gaiden has always been about.
Because that's how I felt playing the first one. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be the baddest ass ninja. Oh, I'm dead. I'm the bat dead. 30 hours later of crawling through zeppelins and tombs and dragon bones, I end up getting killed by giant bugs. Like, fuck it. Turn this game off. Straight to hell with this game. It's cool and it's fun to watch. And if you're really good at it, I mean, it's very impressive to watch, but it's just so difficult and I don't have that amount of time to dedicate to, oh yeah, want to see me do my triple moon flip? No.
I'm sure it's rewarding to a large section of gamers, but
with
hardcore games like that, where there's essentially an algorithm or programming I have to adjust myself to in order to play, it may as well be an Android playing it.
Yeah.
It's just not that fun for me.
I prefer it to even a game like Devil May Cry, just because, you know, Ninja is cooler than whatever Dante has evolved into at this point. And there's just more, I can't think of the word.
It's a little bit more flavor.
More urgency, like, to what you're doing, I guess. But the DS one was really easy, and I loved it. Thought it was a great game. Like, the same basic gameplay, but toned down.
Well, that reminds me of another thing.
Likes easy games.
Oh, I'm a loser.
You're a casual gamer, aren't you?
Loser.
Ooh, Brett Elston, gone cash.
Gone cash.
What I thought was particularly weird about it is that Itagaki is the most negative person in, like, the games industry. He's constantly spewing shit at fucking everybody.
Yeah.
So where does, like, a light jab come off as, like, biased or just as incendiary as the internet took it? I just don't understand. He trashes everything, including the guy who made Ninja Gaiden Sigma, which everybody else up until now was wrong in thinking was a good game.
He called him
his
insubordinate, right?
Yes, that was one of my underlings who made that mega-selling, well-reviewed PS3 game.
Can I just answer with, I don't care? Do you hear that, Internet? I don't care about
he cares.
Quotes. And this guy said that this, and he always says this instead. Oh, really?
Ninjas are serious business. No one's arguing that.
Especially him going up against a tank on a flying Zeppelin.
Yeah. I think that was it. Amanda said there was abundance of rocket launchers, which really a ninja has no place dealing with. I would not send a ninja in to deal with a rocket
launcher. In its defense, though, the NES ones, you were going up all kinds of heavy weapons, and it was fun. They just translated that to 3D, and I don't have a problem with that.
Right. Fucking you and your indefensible NES.
But he still ran around collecting keys for key doors, right? In this new one, that's what she was talking about, too? Like, it didn't. There was, like, no evolving past, like, just old mechanics.
It seems very, like, 2004-ish, kind of like, the spirit barrier is raised. You can't go through until 17 enemies are destroyed.
Yes, you must feed all the enemies in order to remove the orange tornado. I don't know. There's a place for games like that, so I'm not condemning it outright. I don't think any of us are, right?
No. It's just it's just ridiculous when that much attention is drawn to the fact that, well, it got a 7 out of 10, and now look at the other scores that came out. I think that kind of backs it up.
All the scores were at the most a point higher.
Yeah, well, IGN's was like 8.7, which I think is probably too high.
Well, clearly that 0.7 is outlandish.
Well, considering that's almost a 9, and it's like, really? I don't know. I'm not in the place to say that, but it seems a little high.
You know what? I'm going to round that 8.7 to a 7 by our rating system. So there you go.
Well, 7 is 7 is practically a 6, and 6 is practically a 5. So basically, you're saying it's a 5.
And 7, 8, 9.
David,
1UP gave it a 67, or their B- or whatever they're doing now. I don't know.
1UP. Yeah. More like 1 down, because that's what all their scores are from everybody else's. I just made that up. I swear to Christ. Thank you. Light applause from Patterson.
Yeah. Golf clap.
All right. Well, we pretty much covered that. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some new shit that we've seen as of late. So stay right there.
Shit the bed, got so drunk I gave a dude head. Life is just a merciful blur when you pop a pisswasser. Pisswasser, don't drink it slow. 3 a.m. buy some blow. Sleep in the bathroom on the floor. What really matters anymore? All the crap you do all day, who fucking cares anyway? This is beer. Drive drunk off of beer. Pisswasser, drink all day. It helps your troubles go away. Yeah, yeah. Pisswasser, cheap German lager for export only.
I'm going to stop playing that. That was by request from someone off the forums, but I don't want to be sued by some guy called Q Lazarus. Okay, we are back.
I just peed while holding my laptop in my right hand.
I can hear your dick. What were we going to talk about? Ubi Days. We were going to talk about Booby Days. Ubi Days. Brett, you actually went to that, right?
I actually did.
Oh my god!
In
it
real
was
life,
there for reals.
Yeah, 3D. it was like down the street, and I got in a bus, and then I was there, and there were other people there.
All right, look, do you want to moderate?
You don't say.
Yeah, and there were games, and we were playing them, and then going, oh really? Yes, that is.
Tell
true.
Us more.
Well, the only thing I played, they showed off the Prince of Persia with the they showed off the trailer, but now I think a lot more information is out about it, so I can't add anything to what's already out there. But Hawks,
check the internet's
there.
Kids.
Yeah, check game raiders dot
games radar. I think it is
sometimes
dot com.
With a K.
So yeah, I, the main thing I played was Hawks. Tom Clancy's Hawks, which probably, probably
I just did a kickflip. Could you hear that?
You should find some kind of falcon like noise to play. Every
all right,
time
no, I think I got one. Oh wait, that was wrong. I totally forgot that.
Every time we say Hawks, it should follow with that. But no, it's if you like Ace Combat, which you know at least 12, 13 of you do, it's basically like that. I'm a huge Ace Combat fan, so I can say that it is fine. One of my favorite franchises for some reason. But yeah, it's just they're Tom Clancy trying to get in that vein. It's in the Ghost Recon universe. The Hawks. Let me recompose my thoughts here. My thoughts. There's kind of a issue already for me. I wrote it in the preview, which has been up since, I guess, Wednesday, that, I don't know, for fans of Ace Combat and just flight sims in general, it's kind of dumbed down a little. Like, it wants to help you a lot. And like, oh, here's how you evade the missile. And this is the path you need to take to get out and to find the target. And if you don't stick to that path, it's really hard to get out of the way of missiles or track people down, and if you turn the help completely off, it switches to this weird, like, Zaxxon, Captain Skyhawk crazy view where you're, like, zoomed out really far from the plane, and it's cool because you can see the plane from far away, and you get to see what's actually happening around you in the dogfight, much like moving from a first-person shooter to a third-person game. You can actually just see what's happening to your character, and it kind of helps humanize an inhuman plane a little bit. But it's just a totally different game at that point. So I'm curious to see what like all the Ace Combat fans have to say about it, because at that point you're not playing a flight sim anymore. It's just totally different feel, and there's more of a bob and weave to it. You can see the trails of your own plane now. It's pretty cool. It just takes a lot of adjusting, and it'd be neat to see if the Ghost Recon fan base that Tom Clancy's wrangled in will care, or if they just want to go around saying hoo-yah and shooting people. I don't know.
Now, I hear the artificial horizon is better than the actual horizon.
That's a misnomer.
Oh, what? I got nothing.
My cell phone is Verizon. You're right.
No. I never got into Ace Combat.
I'm a big fan of Vertical Horizon as well.
It's interesting what you're saying about Hawks, how when you turn off all the help, it just kind of feels different, becomes different. It just sounds like the game just is getting defensive. Like, fine, fuck, you do it. I don't care.
It kind of is. Like, even the camera at that point is like, oh yeah, well, I dare you to find him now.
Like, good luck, jerk.
But I can't navigate from this angle because people weren't meant to do this, and I don't know. It's still cool, but it's a totally different kind of game. And I think that's how I'm going to play it, is because I've already got. There's already a really good flight sim on the market, and the guy there, I don't have his name, but he did say, and I was very happy to hear it. They were like, you know, Ace Combat needs the competition. It'll help push an envelope for the next game, and if we, you know, by making this, make them make a better game, then that's great. And that, I really enjoy that. It's just, look what happened with Madden. Like, there's no more NFL license, so it's just kind of like, well, what are they shitting out in August now?
I would threaten them with a potential review strap line of Ass Combat. To see if that would whip that into making a better game.
So it looks cool. I also like that it is actual real world. We're flying around Rio de Janeiro with the big Jesus statue up there.
Any 9/11 towers?
No.
Anything I can reenact?
Just so I know, that is a Jesus tower. It's not somebody else, right? And I'm going to be like the dumbest guy in the world.
It's a mix. It's the Virgin Jesus.
Virgin Jesus. Okay.
Yes, he gave birth to himself. How about the... anybody check out the Beyond Good and Evil trailer?
No.
I didn't know.
I was on vacation. I didn't know there was a new trailer.
Yeah, there was a new trailer. It's not fair to call it a trailer. That shit is a fucking teaser.
Oh, God, it is.
You didn't like it, Shane.
No, well, okay, here's the thing. I like Beyond Good and Evil, and it's fun, it's charming, it's... I mean, I don't want to use the term quaint to describe it. You know, It's a nice game. It's got its own universe. Even if the stealth is a little, you know, things we've seen before, but I love the photography. You know, there's a good female heroine in it. And, you know, for whatever reason, didn't sell dick. Didn't sell anything. And so the people who love it and lavish praise upon it are game journalists. And then by proxy, you know, people go up and they pick it out. Very few people have gone up and picked it out. You can go to any GameStop and find it for $10 on Xbox, PS2.
$5, man.
And then they released this teaser, and while it looks great, it's like, here's us trying to get the casual gamer excited about our sequel that nobody saw.
Well, here's
how we're presenting it, as a Timon and Pumbaa cartoon.
No!
And it was just like, here's a pig snorting a fly.
Wrong! It opened up with them with their car broken down in a desert. I thought it was a classy teaser, because the audience is relatively sophisticated and didn't really need some kind of balls-out action.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that.
Action shot. She whips out her camera and stabs three people in the groin. That wasn't necessary to sell Beyond Good and Evil to its audience, which, I don't know, I'm hoping, because it's for free on GameTap.
Right, but also, they don't... I mean, I'm not going to throw out a blanket statement and say they don't have an audience. I'm going to say their whole goal is they're trying to reach a larger audience. And I feel like there could have been at least something else to set up something where... I mean, Paige didn't even act like that in the first game, really. He was just kind of like, I'm your lovable uncle. And now he's like, I'm really trying hard to snort this fly.
Dude, and he was just being a slob, because I'm assuming he's a pig. I haven't played the goddamn game.
I really wanted something more to at least be like, hey, this really is Beyond Good and Evil, not...
Well, it's been available for free on GameTap. God rest their editorial soul. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Wow. Yeah, and, I heard about that today. That literally stopped me in my tracks. I was walking, got the text, what?
Yes.
So if anybody doesn't know, the GameTap editorial side is no more, and that was decided about 36 hours ago. Quick interruption, but nonetheless, a lot of good people there, and I hope they all get...
Yeah, that's the thing. Their staff was pretty damn good. They were kind of like an all-star cast of gaming who's who's.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it's sad to see him go, but I mean, that GameTap, that's not really... What I'd like to see is that it's like cable. It's like where people pick up on games they missed along general retail releases. Like, people are... Then that's what I think may have happened, because Ubisoft would not release a game just on critical praise alone. I think there's some kind of statistic, and I believe it's possibly through GameTap and maybe even U sales that maybe there is an audience for this game, and the people who did enjoy it.
I definitely think there is. I'm not denying that. I know there's a huge audience for it, and I'm really excited for the second one. Like, don't get me wrong. I know I've been reading comments right after that was revealed, like on Next Gen, that they interviewed, I guess, someone who's working on it, whatever, someone for Ubisoft, and they said, hey, we're trying to reach a broader casual audience. And that's great. There's a huge, you know, there's a following behind it. But also, it's surprising that, you know, the numbers weren't there the first time around to really warrant a sequel, like, in the business. But I know it's coming. It's just... I feel like it was a different direction than they probably should have taken with a huge announcement teaser.
I respect your opinion. I just think you're an asshole. we got to move on because we're talking too much about a teaser.
Well, really quick, if I can, there is kind of a precedent for this already with Ubisoft. The first Prince of Persia, I think, came out the same year Beyond Good and Evil did. I might be wrong. But regardless, it did the same thing. It got good critical praise, didn't sell very well, and then it got a sequel pretty much...
I'm pretty sure immediately, though.
Yeah, it got a sequel
I remember it was discounted pretty heavily, but not as heavily as Beyond Good and Evil.
It wasn't to the same degree, but it was largely ignored because it was one of those years where just a flood of shit comes out in November. Right. Here's 83 games on Tuesday, and then the sequel came out, and they're like, well... Maybe if we put Godsmack in it and change it completely, more people will play it. So I hope the same thing doesn't happen where it's like more visible sequel comes out that probably sells better than the first but cheapens the license overall.
See, you know what was the obvious choice as far as music goes? Spin Doctor's Two Princes. Especially in the third game. That really should have been...
Let's move on from that.
Okay. All right. Well, Brett, where are you, mister?
Right now, I'm sitting in there are two towers in Vegas from the Palms Hotel. There's the Palms Tower. I'm in Glam Drill or whatever that museum joke from a few years ago. No, there's the Palms Hotel for Capcom. They're having a huge event out here in Las Vegas. Obviously, can't talk about anything that they're showing or saying or doing or even the games that they're talking about. That's all embargoed until next week. But yeah, it's pretty cool. In between the afternoon stuff and going to see more stuff here in a bit to go eat dinner. And they've got us in this crazy hotel that apparently Hugh Hefner designed the room above us where we're partying and going to some dance club on the Sky Ball or something like that. I don't know. It's hovering.
Sky Balls. I knew that hotel was going to be phallic.
It's like, I don't know, there's like hot tubs dangling off the side. And I'm like, I can't get in that. Like, I don't have a fear of heights, but I have a fear of dying. So, I have a fear of dying in hot bath water at 30,000 feet or whatever. But
I've heard of that phobia.
Yeah. So what I can't talk about the games or anything, but there's a quick anecdote from me getting off my plane at midnight. None of the shuttles from Capcom were still going because I got here too late, which is another story that's not important. Finally arrive at the Palms, get here, get my key, get to my room on the 22nd floor. Walk in, I'm like, wait a second. There should be like a little packet that says, here's what you're doing, here's the games, and here's your interview schedule. No. Two other guys' bags, cigarettes everywhere, and empty Heineken cans all over the room. And the place smells like smoke, and the bathroom is astray. It's like there was a struggle, and someone was killed, and somebody had a drink and a smoke. It was like, fuck this place, and then left. And used towels all over the place, bed totally destroyed. So I'm like, hey, wait a second.
This is the true romance set.
Yeah. So then I go, I'm like,
what happened?
Look ridiculous. So then I go back downstairs and I'm like, yeah, there's like two bums that are living in my room or something. So can I have a different
Really? Oh, I hope he was British. Two bombs?
Two bombs? Are you serious?
You're serious. That's bollocks.
But the moment I get out of the elevator, keep in mind I've actually been in Vegas only like an hour at this point, so I get in my hotel, it's been trashed, I go down in the elevator to get a new room, door opens, dude puking in a trash can right in front of me.
Vegas!
Like, oh yeah, dude, rain the party!
And then, I don't know how to have fun anywhere else!
And he, Capcom! and he's wearing a nice suit, and, like, wiping the puke off on his sleeve, and then, oh, you want some more shots, man? And then these girls walk off like, oh my god, that guy just puked, it's gross. Do I want a party? And then they go off with him, so... they probably puked on him later, which is great.
He looks like he could kick my ass. How cute.
I love guys that are mean.
That's, so you finally got a decent room then?
I'm finally in my decent room. Same thing happened, though. I came in, I drank a bunch of beer, smoked cigarettes, and tore up the bed.
Did you hold the black light up to the sheets?
No, I took care of that.
Okay.
Don't hold one up now.
Don't hold one up now because, I mean, I the bathroom just doesn't work, so I'll just say that.
Oh god, black light is bed sheets gonna look like a Jackson Pollock painting.
But yeah, on a without talking about what they're talking about,
it's Resident Evil, isn't it?
Well, maybe. Well, one thing I do want to mention though, and it's not pertaining really to this, but this coming here did enlighten this point to me about Street Fighter IV.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom just seems like one of those companies that really gets the community aspect and like really not pandering like, oh, here you go, like Smash Brothers. We're like, how about everything in one game? Isn't that nice? It's actually like we actually give a shit what you guys had to say about the last 17 games and really god offs honestly want to make a better game now. And like, the producers and stuff, they will talk so passionately about it and not in the usual, like, this game's going to knock your socks off right in the next, you know, whatever.
We wanted to immerse the gamer.
Yeah, they don't do that.
It's a game. It better do that.
And it's weird because, like, all the interviews they go to, and you're always like, oh, man, I got 30 minutes and I got to come up with some stuff to talk about. And some games are good for it. Other games are like, you kind of said everything we needed to know, and everything else you won't tell us until whenever.
We get a press release, so please, let me loose.
But Street Fighter is like, you'd think there's not much to ask. Like, dudes punching each other. But
God, no.
There's so much to talk about, and that's the only one where in the interviews, like, they go long, because people are just genuinely excited about it, and I hope the game does really well for them, because they're putting a lot of effort, and the people that are working on it fucking care. They honestly care, and that's not like hyperbole or the, you know, their positive spewing falling on me and then making me spew it back to you. It's like, you can
chill.
Just... yeah. Well, I did get a nice $1,000 bill.
Plant!
$1,000 bill for this, so... No, they don't give anybody shit for this, but it's, I don't know. It's very infectious. Like, you just play it and everybody enjoys it, and I hope it does very well for them. But then I got to wonder, they have all these trailers. There was the first one with Ken and Ryu fighting that's all, like, inky splotches everywhere.
Yeah.
There was a second one that was Chun-Li and Viper that's all watercolors, and they just showed a new one today that I'm sure they'll put out next week. And it's similar style, like a different...
Pixel art.
A different twist, and I'm like, how much effort does it take to put these things together, and like so much development and art team, and like it's just got to be a lot of like so much planning and execution to go right, and then I just
cell shaded Zangief.
Yeah, and I just wonder, is it going to be one of these, like, you know, 5 million selling games that's what they seem to think it's going to be, or is it just going to be like, yeah, the Street Fighter fan base goes crazy and loves it. But
I think it's part of their identity now. They can't put a number at the end and let it down.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all. That's all I got to say.
No, because leading up to that, I had this list of Capcom's best-selling titles of all time. And like Shane, what would you think Capcom's best-selling game is?
Mega Man.
Oh wait, I have a buzzer noise. No, Brett Elston. What would you think?
Is this like of all time or just
no? No. I'm gonna go you last because you're a dork. Tyler,
what
is the best-selling Capcom game?
Ghosts and Goblins.
Good lord! no, Belston.
Of all time or just
of
like
all time.
The last year of all time? Monster Hunter.
Jesus. No, I didn't get it either. I was. It's actually Street Fighter 2. which goes to show you where your point was going.
Yeah.
Apparently 6,300 I don't know what this is going, but into the Super Famicom. 6,300,000 copies. Or I could have just said 6.3 million.
Yeah, the home conversions were incredible. The first one, the subsequent, like Turbo and Super Street Fighter 2, mm-hmm. they dropped a lot. They still sold millions of copies.
Number three is Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So people,
wow,
yeah, that makes almost 5 million people bought a game for four extra characters and a little bit of speed.
I'm pretty sure it was actually Adventure Quiz Capcom World.
But well, if you say it's Street Fighter 2,
then fine. I mean, you can
take
be
a
wrong.
Gander at what's number two.
Oh, God.
You can't at all?
I'm not in the room.
I have no idea.
Original Resident Evil?
It is a Resident Evil game. Guess which one?
Is it part two?
It is part two. I would have thought part four, considering they sold it numerous times. But it's part two. Another interesting on the list, where do you think Dino Crisis is at?
Oh wow, seven!
Like the close. The first one is at six.
Wow, really?
I was going to say somewhere Monster Hunter. In my anus.
Resident Evil with a quicker run button.
Here's my favorite one. What is the 16th best selling game of all time
for Capcom?
Magical Tetris Challenge.
No, it's a game we all love.
Oh wait! DuckTales for NES.
Oh my God! Cue the fucking moon. It is DuckTales.
Wow!
Oh man! Wow!
Yeah, it's totally DuckTales, and I couldn't believe that at all. If you look at the list, it's really weird because how old is it?
Oh wait! Yeah. Oh, it's like sweet, sweet music.
Yeah. How old is the How old are the Disney games now? I've got DuckTales 1990.
Wow! I'm surprised it's that new.
And then in DuckTales, Chippendales Rescue Rangers, they're all here in the top 50 in Aladdin and Mickey's Quest.
Because they knew what they were doing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had their A-teams working on those games, not like, we got the Brother Bear license, we want to shit one out.
Let's shit out a Wii game now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
man.
They fucking cared.
That's pretty astonishing. And for some reason, I want to like rub this in some Disney touchstone PR person's face. You should go back to this. Look what they did for you. DuckTales on the Game Boy and the NES together sold about a little over 3 million copies. That's not to be sneezed at, right?
I can try.
Oh. Guess where the first Mega Man is on the list.
It's probably pretty low, I would think.
12. It is. I thought it was a little low. It's 21, but which Mega Man do you think it is?
X.
No, X is down at 37. So that's pretty good.
Wow.
You have quite a list.
Mega Man 2?
Mega Man 2. Mega Man 2 it is. Ding!
Yeah, I wish you had some Mega Man 2 music, but no.
I don't have any Mega Man 2 music.
But yeah, Mega Man 2 was the one. That's the first game I can remember where the first one came out, and I mean everybody knows the story. The first one came out, the horrible box art, nobody really knew what it was, and it did okay but not great, and that led them to kind of make two in their spare time. And when they put it out, I think partly to blame Nintendo Power, or partly to thank, however you want to phrase it, two had this huge anticipation around it. We're like, I barely played the first one as a kid. There you go. But as I remember when,
I played the first one after the second one.
When the second one came out, it was like this huge hype, and I think to me that's the first game that got mega hype. That that was not even a pun. I didn't even try.
I remember that because my friends, I was getting a game for getting really good grades, and I didn't know what to get. And all my friends were like, "Get Mega Man 2." I'm like, "I've never heard of Mega Man 1." So I trusted them and went with it. And my parents paid $50 for a copy of Mega Man 2, which seems ridiculous. And I still have the box for it. Thank you. And it was a pretty cool list. What I saw as far as the series go, what do you think the best Capcom's best selling series is?
Probably Resident Evil.
Oh, you are good, Brett. 50 titles. Resident Evil titles. 50 titles.
50?
Yeah, have sold somewhere around 35 million copies.
Well, it's not like Capcom that makes sequels.
And, well, That's the thing. Mega Man 2 has sold is number 2 on the series sales list with 28 million copies. And guess how many titles?
70.
120.
Damn.
120 Mega Man games. You thought you played
them
all.
That's a lot of Mega Man.
Wasn't it just on Guinness World Records for having the most sequels like within a franchise or something?
That's probably accurate.
I think I just saw that on
Dig. Did you look that up, sweetie?
Yeah, darling. fucking hell, I don't have the book with me.
But also, I thought it was surprising, on the series sales list, Devil May Cry is at number 5.
Why?
Well, I'm easily on Devil May Cry, but that's with only 10 titles. I have no idea where they got 10 Devil May Cry titles from, but 10 compared to Mega Man's 120 per Devil May Cry game, I didn't know it was such a cash cow.
Yeah, apparently so.
Dante's so cool.
I know.
All right, well, we're going to go to break real quick. Oh, do you have it? You have an answer, Tyler?
No. No, I don't.
No, God, you idiot. He's not even looking.
Fucking, I'm watching TV.
Everybody's fired. So, in short, Capcom rules. Brett's looking forward to Hawks. And Shane thinks of the Beyond Good and Evil trailer.
Could have been better.
No, I just played a Bill O'Reilly clip. Anyway, yeah, we'll be back in a second. Okay, we're back.
Well, first, what was that song you just played? Because I don't know, recognize it.
That was by a young man called Pogo, I believe. It's called Alice. I fell in love with it over the weekend. I found it. It's just strung together through Alice in Wonderland samples, which if I have to relate it to video games, I'm just going to say Kingdom Hearts there. I have to justify
American McGee's Alice.
There you go. Thank you, Tyler.
Which for Kingdom Hearts, I thought was like the worst way to go. Is the first level you go to is the disorienting one.
I just thought it was ugly. It was like the only one where I got lost consistently.
Yeah, I was always lost. I'm like, this is the first place. I don't know what I'm doing yet. And go in the window and come out the ceiling.
I don't want to explain. I prefer this Heart series go back to the classic shit because I don't want to spend another second and wherever the hell Milan is. What, the Philippines? I have no idea.
Yeah, probably not the Philippines.
Okay. I can talk briefly. I saw Guitar Hero on tour and Guitar Hero Aerosmith. Unfortunately, I can't talk about Guitar Hero Aerosmith because it's under embargo, but Guitar Hero on tour is not. But, I mean, you've all seen that and probably possibly the awful trailer. Did everybody see the awful trailer?
The awful trailer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, the thing I was, you know, that I had that disdain in my heart when I picked up the game, and I just kind of fell into the Guitar Hero groove immediately, and I liked it a lot. It worked very well, and that peripheral is very nice. It even has, like, a customizable faceplate, so that's kind of cool. But probably one of the worst set lists I've ever seen in my life.
It's just a mishmash of a bunch of stuff. It's like 80s and crappy and worse, I think, are the genres they're playing.
Yes. Little No Doubt and Blink-182. It sounds like my stereo in 1997. Wow. But no
followed
offense
by Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister! yeah. But no, it looked pretty cool. I can talk a little more about Guitar Hero Aerosmith. But regardless, anybody listen to this, I'll be giving some Guitar Hero stuff out on the forums next week. So check back for that.
I had some hands-on time with it about a month or so ago. And I thought the little grip that it comes with is pretty good. Got some strain in my hand after holding it there for a while, and I really can't see.
You have to hold it like a naughty baby, like you're talking to.
No.
Bad for your posture.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it's either your arms get tired or your neck gets tired from staring down. Yeah. But I thought the multiplayer stuff worked a little better for DS just because, I don't know why. Like, I thought the way they did it was better. Like, you actually have to pull the string back up with the stylus, or it's like somebody's throwing something in your face to autograph, so you have to autograph it with the stylus. It just made better use, whereas like in Guitar Hero 3, you're like, yeah, come on.
I hated the attacks, man. Yep. You know what? Pardon my French, but nuts to that. I really did not like the attacks, because like the whole point in playing Guitar Hero, pretending I'm playing a song, and you're going to throw fire at me while I'm trying to play with fuck you. Blowing the string. No, all right, whatever.
Attack the rhythm player.
I want to say, because everybody there with their time with Guitar Hero 3 thought they didn't innovate really. They just added the attacks and made everything a fuck ton of a lot harder.
Yeah.
To the point where it wasn't fun.
Yeah, well, I still had fun with it. The attacks were bullshit. I mean,
I felt no need to go in. Because the difference between medium and hard was so vast.
Yeah.
And I always like to wait with a little medium and then go into hard, and I found that to be absolutely impossible.
They really need to understand the difference that they have three difficulty settings. They have easy, medium, and hard, and hard is not expert. And expert should be the one that most people have the most difficulty with, because like medium is entirely too easy, and then hard is like 75% of the songs are doable and fine. You can 4 or 5 star them. But then, like, there's just that one random song on hard, like 5 or 6 songs. I'm like, I can't even finish this shit.
The point of the game to me has always been the sense of musical accomplishment and throwing things at people. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Right? No, but maybe 4. Aerosmith was a little different. It reminded me a little more of 2. I was very happy. I'll talk more about it maybe in a preview if I have time to write one. And I sound like a diva.
Yeah, 4. The big news about 4, obviously, is the drums, which I'm immediately excited about because they already look better than Rock Band's drums, which I love regardless.
Look better. I think they look a little awkward, but I do like the cymbal placement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. And my biggest quarrel with 4, man. Oh, Jesus. This is it. I'm calling it right now. I'm going to call it, and Activision's going to email me going, how did you know? Who told you? Because...
That's weird. I'm cueing the dramatic sound effect.
Yeah. I heard that sound effect in a SpongeBob cartoon while I was home, by the way. So
you're welcome.
It is public domain.
Yes.
So, 4. The big thing that was Game Informer had the huge story on it not that long ago, and they're like, the career mode is different in that rather than, you know, tiers that you play, like 1, 2, and 3 and Rock Band, there's gigs of songs that you play. You'll go to different gigs and play the choice of songs you want instead of having to play every song on the list. So there's optional songs now. You don't have to play them all. And you didn't have to play them all before, but there was still a progression. Here's a song, beat it. Here's a song, beat it. Now they're like, now you've got a choice. Does this sound to anyone else like what exactly happened to Tony Hawk? Tony Hawk 4 did the same thing. Instead of, here's the track, skate it. Here's the track, skate it. Now, you can skate around, man. You can go talk to the kids.
Talk to the bum, and then you can do the trick flip.
Hey, man. Trick flip. Hey, lady, you want to play tennis with me with my skateboard? No. Well, you got to get the points, so go ahead.
That's a fantastic point, because I forgot to, Brett. Here's your dramatic sound effect. You deserved it for that, because I think that's extremely relevant. And it's also kind of odd, because look whose name is going on it.
Neversoft.
Neversoft. Number 4s. But I don't know, Tony Hawk 4 was also, I felt very good.
I hated 4 to death because it was too much. It's like, and since then, it's just got progressively worse. It's just here.
Well, the Underground, as a Tony Hawk connoisseur, most of us will say that the Underground was the plummet, the beginning of the plummet.
Yeah. That was right after 4, and it was just too much to do when all you want to do is just skate and, you know, perfect a stage. And that's why I'm calling it right now. The Guitar Hero 5, they're going to be like, for the first time in the series, open world environment, drive to your gig. You get to get a bus, and then you get to drive yourself there.
Oh. To recruit a roadie.
Yeah.
Go talk to that bum.
Your string broke. You better go fix it at the store.
Just look what's happened. Three? What happened with three? They added cutscenes. Granted, they were like, 5 seconds. But they bothered. They bothered to add a story to Guitar Hero. Fuck that. Then four comes out, and what do they do? Well, now you can shoot. No, Jesus, here we go. Five is going to be just ridiculous amounts of junk that no one wants that ultimately led to Tony Hawk actually having to take a year off this year because they're like, I don't know what to do.
That is sad. I mean, but this Proving Ground was the first Tony Hawk game I did not finish 100%.
Jesus,
that hasn't happened in eight games.
Really?
Yeah.
I finished two and three 100%, and then and they're all just so goofy and stupid, just ridiculous. And that's what Guitar Hero is going to become. There's three Guitar Heroes last year and three Guitar Heroes this year. It's only a matter of time before they're like, well, how about we just take every idea from every other game and throw it in there? And it's like, hey, remember when Quick Play used to just, you'd push it and it would take you straight to the set list? Oh, wait, no, that never happened. Because Quick Play still is like, well, first, I should be looking at the set list, playing a song in two button presses. Quick play song, not quick play. Choose your rocker. Choose your venue. Choose your sign.
I'm sure that'll be an option. Calm down, Elson. I'm not done. That'll be an option.
Choose your shoes. Choose your glasses.
Choose your addiction.
Choose your ringtone.
Choose Bam Margera.
And it's just like, that's just come.
Don't worry.
If I'm wrong, I will be happy to be wrong. But I just feel it's the first step they take.
You know what? Offer the audience some incentive for you being wrong. Give them some. What will you do if you're wrong?
I don't know. We'll have to come up with something. If I'm wrong, I've got a year to think about it, so I'll do something.
It's like the equivalent of you'll eat your hat, but we may actually make you do this.
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
All right, hear me out. You'll let me fart into your microphone while you're wearing it on your head.
Oh, that's not much.
Oh, are you sure?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've heard him rip one.
Fine. That's
how about? Well, okay. If we want to get shock jockey, how about? Have you considered playing the Wii with your asshole?
Oh my god! Yeah, I think that's meant for the cutting room floor.
We'll do a two girls one cup reaction podcast where it's playing the whole time, and yet we still have to talk about video games.
Oh, two girls one Elston. No. Just a bunch of women of indeterminate origin shitting in your mouth.
That sounds worse.
Oh, you actually sound flustered. The thought of being pooped on.
Repeatedly, indeterminate origin.
You're wasting time in Japan, friend.
This one has hepatitis.
Oh, no.
Next topic.
The only thing I think sucks is I live in a small San Francisco apartment. I don't have room for any more fucking drum peripherals.
Yeah.
Rock Revolution. You hear me? Like, it's already I looked at when I got Rock Band, I turned and looked at my ex-girlfriend's face, and it was just a look of disgust. Like, you fucking child. Your toys are scattered all throughout this adult living room. We pay taxes and vote, and here you are playing with numerous fake plastic guitars.
To be fair, you don't pay taxes or vote.
I did for the first time ever. I don't vote. I can't. I'm not allowed. Okay. I barely touched that kid. He slipped. He slipped and fell onto my fist.
Fell down the stairs.
Speaking of nostalgia.
That was a good transition, buddy.
Thank you, well, man. What's up? What's up, Belson? Come on, talk.
It was more on the Guitar Hero thing, but I think when you said slipped on my fist, I totally lost what I was going to say. Guitar Hero, eh? Oh, yeah, I'm ready to say, I'm just ready to say poo-poo to Rock Revolution as a whole. Like, Konami had so long to come into this, and they just waited so
long. They kind of invented it.
And they kind of did invent it. And they literally let Guitar Hero and Harmonix and Red Octane just walk in and be like, thank you, and then just walk off with it.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. I'll just redefine your genre while I'm here. And then now now they put it in there, and I'm like, okay, these drums are ugly as hell. Like, I don't care how many inputs you have. They're like all different heights, and it's one solid unit, and it's just a big ugly mess. And
unit.
It's like, even if the game is fine, and even if it's really good, I can't fit, like you said, any more plastic shit in my house. And I'm not going to have another uncollapsible, unmovable piece of plastic furniture that I can't do anything with, except maybe sit on, as was demonstrated for some reason. And
not only that, the untold sadness that you and I have of living in an old building in San Francisco,
yeah,
on the second or third floor.
Yep.
We can't really ever play our drums.
No.
Like I have to call in sick and wait because the neighbors, they just fucking hate it, dude. I start playing, and then my headphones are on, and it's up all loud to drown out the drums, and then it just sounds like construction underneath the ceiling below. Come on, shit off! Like someone came and knocked on our door and asked us, "Are you guys playing Rock Band? It's like midnight." I don't know. It was like right when Rock Band came out. I was just surprised they could recognize it from the foot pedal on the floor.
Oh, nice! I could hear the foot miming. That was good.
Oh well.
But speaking of nostalgia, you're right.
Speaking of the album,
you should check that out. That sounds bad.
Little Lord Nagata and I went and saw a Tecmo Bowl with the presentation. Yes,
that's our PC editor, by the way.
From the San Francisco 49ers, I believe they're called cheerleaders, which was one of the most awkward things I've ever seen.
Just cheerleaders at a gaming event.
Granted, I'm uncomfortable on strippers because I hate bitches who want money from me.
Then don't go to them.
I don't, but every once in a while you get some sad friend who hasn't seen a tit in a while and just has to go in. Maybe she'll accept. Goods and services. Now, but they did a cheerleading performance in front of us for what seemed like 90 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And when you're close enough to hear the pom-poms, it's just, I don't know, it's just intensely awkward. Oh, but the Tecmo Bowl was actually really cool. And Brett, I wish you would have been there because on display, of course, they had the DS game ready for us to have a little hands-on time with. But they had every single system Tecmo Bowl has ever been on playing actual old copies of Tecmo Bowl. Ooh. On numerous different TVs, and they had all the songs from every generation coming out of the TV. I mean, it was I thought it was very, very cool. Like they tried to hook the Genesis up to a widescreen television. That was really funny because they had to try and hide the VCR that it had to route through because you can't possibly hook up a Genesis to a new TV. But yeah, that was really interesting. And you know, Tecmo Bowl, the DS1 looks exactly like the Tecmo Bowl you love from. The Tecmo Bowl looks just like the Tecmo Bowl. We all even remember. I don't know, because the sounds of when I walked in there, it sounded like the sound of Slumber Party.
Ooh.
You know what I'm talking about? Like I
know.
Never,
oh, dude,
I
know.
Like Tecmo Bowl. Just because I was never good at it. But it was always being played around me. So it was obscenely comfortable.
I know all about Slumber Parties.
Anyway.
My Slumber Parties, actually, the two memories of Slumber Party that come to mind immediately are Castlevania 1 and Short Circuit.
Short Circuit. Speaking of which, I think we're going to see you guys next week. Brett, you'll be able to talk a little more about Capcom next week?
Yeah.
When will we be able to see some kind of article up?
Probably Tuesday. The embargo goes up like early Tuesday morning. So actual things that they said and did in Vegas. And speaking of Vegas, I'm looking out my window now, and it's a very nice vista I have of the strip. But the only thing I can see is this building that says Las Vegas School of Dealing, and I assume that means like cards, but I see like coping.
PhD in slinging rocks.
Like so you bet it all, did you? Well, sorry.
Yeah, I can deal.
So you're a fucking rube. The pamphlet. Well, anyway, we'll see you next week. I'll be able to talk more about Guitar Hero Aerosmith if anybody gives a fuck. And yeah, I'm sure we'll have a bunch of other stuff to tell you. Anything else we can tease? Tyler, didn't we want to kind of like drop one word maybe that would let people know what they can look forward to in the top seven?
Gore explosion, perhaps.
All right, well, that's it. We're out. Thank you.